Amen. Okay, outreach. What comes to mind when you think of that word? This is going to be a little bit of interactive. I know David is very gifted historian, and I would sit under his teaching. Rebecca and I have talked about it. He's just so fascinating to listen to. I, on the other hand, am a greener, younger version, and I'm going to rely on some other wisdom in the room from time to time. And so we're going to have some dialogue. I hope that's okay. What comes to mind? Just gut-level responses when you think of outreach. What do you hear in your body right now?
Inviting people outside the church to come and join us.
Okay.
Come and learn about the gospel.
Good. Come and learn. Come and join us. Come and hear about the gospel. Good. Other thoughts? I'm not... Yes, it's good to look at the etymology of what is that word actually from? Well, it's two words put together. Reach out, that's true. That helps to break it down. What image comes to mind when you think of reaching out?
Neighbors, also keeping informed about what's going on.
Hmm.
Not just in our community, but around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So much is happening.
Yes, kind of keeping your ear to the pavement, being aware of the pulse around us, not just in our immediate neighborhoods and communities, but through the world. That's good, helpful. Other thoughts that come to mind? I know I don't have my name tag on. Miss Carol, I thought, was just reminding me very, very tenderly and graciously. I'm Chris, one of the pastors here. So I apologize. I have lost it in the move, apparently. I thought for sure. It's, you know, what happens is, you think you put it in that one spot that you'll never possibly lose it, and apparently that's the worst spot for it because it's officially lost. I thought I knew where it was, and I did not. So I may be talking to Miss Meg this week. That might be your first assignment on Wednesday, Meg. yes, John.
Hmm.
That's good. Yeah, there's a limit that seems to be pushed past as you're reaching past where you currently are into some unknown, something beyond, an extension past you. That's a really helpful image. Other thoughts that come to mind? Just speak out. I don't even need to acknowledge your face before you start talking. Door to door knocking, and something tells me that doesn't stir warm fuzzies in your soul. Okay, all right.
Not even if you take a loaf of homemade bread.
That, yeah, sometimes it works, but it doesn't sound like our dear sister's fibers of her heart are any better desirous to do that than without the bread. Although you're right, something about a gift breaks down walls even when they seem higher. They come a little lower when you have something to distract the conversation and take it a different direction. Oh, why are you here? I'm not here to talk to you about Jesus. I just want to give you this loaf of bread and say, I care about you. You're important. Welcome to the neighborhood. Yeah, it's helpful. Other thoughts? So not always positive. That's helpful to take that swing. We're allowed to speak both good and bad thoughts that come to mind.
I realized this week that I don't really know my neighbors because we're kind of out more. My street has a circle, and I don't know them.
Hmm.
I'm the person across the street and next door. That's it.
Yes.
And I realized that I need to go say hi. I've been here 6 years, and I don't even know who you are.
Yeah.
And I want you to know I'm your neighbor.
Yeah, it helps.
That's what
it helps to take inventory and say, Miss Carol was just letting us know, if you didn't all hear her, that she doesn't know all of her neighbors. And yet her heart desires to, and she knows that she wants to know their names, and she wants to get to know them in the coming weeks more than she does now. And she wants them to know her too. That's great. Yeah, oh, we're all taking notes. This is good. There's nothing like just a personalized welcome that says, hey, I'm another human, and I care about you in particular. And that just is so beautiful, whatever it looks like, whether it's bread or flowers or something else that's personal to you. Yes?
Some maybe ideas that help, you know, like feeding the poor.
Mm-hmm.
The poorest around the globe is like more efficient ways of getting, you know, food to them.
Yes. So you think of reaching physical needs, maybe, of food needs. Sure.
It doesn't go the right place.
Yeah. Well, it, certainly that's on our hearts and minds right now, in particular responding to the hurricane. There's a lot of relief efforts. Agape Flights is taking resources over, and that's super helpful and tangible. But you're right, even beyond just a hurricane environment.
Well, one of the groups comes to my mind, I've called them a little bit, is that Feed the Children in Oklahoma.
Yes. Yes, and it sounds like that is a place of your passion, and your heart is stoked and moved towards involvement in that. Bob, that's good. That's encouraging. These are ways to reach out beyond ourselves, right? That image that John was just sharing, it's something extending beyond our immediate into something else. In essence, I think I'm hearing us say things like that extension takes us beyond ourselves and into somebody else's world. And that's the uncomfortableness that we heard over here, and it's also the opportunity of what's so powerful about reaching out is another image bearer who may not know they're valuable and loved and made in the image of God and glorious, although broken. They're beautiful and magnificent, and we're given messages all day long that say other things. And we receive messages that are less than true of who in God's image we really are. And the opportunity to share with another image bearer, you're lovely and amazing and made in God's image. And I just want you to know you're delightful. That'll blow people's categories. Very few people have had ever a conversation where somebody says that to them, much less a neighbor in the flesh. So just ways that we can embody Jesus incarnationally to another human on face-to-face level is powerful. Don't underestimate it. You say, I don't think I can made for that. That doesn't get me excited. You want to go hide. I'm just going to pick on her because she was the first one to actually voice what all of us were feeling. It's okay. On good days and bad days, I'm a crazy extrovert, and I still have days that I don't feel like talking to anybody, much less about Jesus. Or going and meeting somebody new. So we all have all spectrum in that, and that's just being honest. So
now, you mentioned outreach. I guess I see the face of outreach that most people see is in person.
Hmm.
It's on a TV screen.
Yes.
They'll never interact with that person.
Hmm.
Yet that person is trying to reach out. I think in a lot of cases they're trying to reach out into their wallet.
Huh.
Yes,
it can be a very distant and removed reaching and lack that personal contact. And it can be a part of the picture, but certainly being made in the image of God, do you feel like that's the most true to who we are in God's image? To be impersonal and distant. Did God model impersonal and distant interaction with you and I? No, he did not. He came close, got dirty, washed our feet, put all our sin and ugliest things upon himself, and was scarred and wounded by us. That takes getting messy and in people's personal space. So that's a very good, I think it's a comfortable, more comfortable because it protects us. It's less vulnerable to be distant and removed, but yet that's not the most incarnational Jesus way to reach others. But Satan would probably want us to stay in that category. Let me just kind of reach out and let somebody else do the reaching. I'll just reach out here and they'll do the reaching for me. And that can be worked. There's a part of going and sending that works, but that's not all we're called to. If all we're doing is reaching out to our wallets, then there's probably a part of outreach we're missing. Although, if we miss that part, we're also missing something. So it's a both and usually. Nancy. I love that you spoke out and cut me off. I need to have that happen sometimes. No, it's perfect. You have permission.
I was going to mention that sometimes going out to the neighborhood, knocking on
Yes.
We have the Christian Coalition right here for Feeds the Poor.
Hmm.
To this location.
Yes.
Food is prepared and you're with all sorts of other
Christians
serving.
Yes.
And that's a wonderful way to let them know that Grace Church is helping you.
Yes.
And you can do it.
Partnering with others that are already doing it. It's not got to be a solo enterprise.
Well, I think it's maybe the Homeless Coalition.
Okay. Yeah, that's
a great opportunity.
It's a coming alongside others. And you're right, there's a powerful, anytime we can come alongside others, in our world of incredible separation and antagonism, when we can be shoulder to shoulder with other people, loving people in the name of Jesus, that's powerful. Rebecca, you're allowed to speak up. Hmm.
That God left his comfort zone, well, comfort zone, God, he's God, so, but he left heaven to come here to reach out to us, and that when we reach out to others, it's not, it isn't the same movement, we're simply reaching out to others the same that's been done to us, and so I think it's just impossible to separate that action from having been the one in that position.
Yeah.
First.
Certainly that's a model and a shaping influence that if we had not had Jesus at just the right time while we were still sinners, no good, nothing to gain, all to lose, come and reach to us when we could not reach to him, then we would not have a category or a motive or a pattern to follow, but he is certainly the one that that did that first, and it's in that vein that whether we're comfortable or uncomfortable, all of us are called to stretch beyond our limits with the Holy Spirit's help into the lives of those around us. That's a good segue. I was writing some notes on, I think I can summarize what we've said. Outreach, is it easy or hard?
Hard.
Most of us would say hard. Is it everybody or special people that do it?
Everybody.
We sometimes like to, in our heads, say, but I'm different, right? About everything. That's our good out for everything. Oh, but, yeah, except not here. But that's a thing that we need to just die to because everyone is called to it. So is it for missions trips or on the homeland?
Both.
Good. Is it at work or play? Both. Is it at scared or skilled?
Both.
Ooh, that's a lot harder to practice. That's a lot more real to the everyday. Some of us say, if I just get more skilled, then I'll be more bold for you, Jesus. But he actually calls us, even as we're going, make disciples. Don't wait till you've arrived and you're a fully mature Paul-like disciple before you say, now I'm ready. He actually calls you on the path to make disciples while you're going. That means wherever you are on your journey, you are not without a place to be reaching out. He doesn't expect you to be somebody different, but fully you. So let me just ask you, some of you know I'm wearing glasses this morning, and I was teasing a few of the men in the back as I was rubbing them clean and cleaning the lenses this morning that I need them to help see you clearly, and that just makes me always think about, some of you know what I mean, if you don't have glasses, that's okay, you just get a one step closer to what we'll all be like when we can see in our glorified state than I am right now and others of us are. But how good are our Jesus glasses? See, looking at others through the lens of Jesus, that's what the Spirit of God, when we are united to Jesus, calls us to do and be. It's a becoming of not just how I most naturally see people, but how do I supernaturally see people through the Spirit of God? Some of us may find that our Jesus lenses need a little bit of adjusting. They've been out of focus. They've been a little more close navel-gazing than they've been distant horizon scanning. How can we test our vision? How do we know what our prescription is and whether it's up to par? Well, I'm going to just hone us in on Matthew chapter 9 for a brief second. We're going to be in a few passages. We're not going to have time for all of us to look them up. But if you want to look one up, just stick your hand up, and I will let you have time to turn to it while we're talking. And then when we get to that passage, I'll just have you read it really quick. It's only going to be a couple verses at most. 3, I think, is the maximum number of verses of any of these passages. So who's willing to do some reading? Oh, we got Miss Dorothy and Rebecca. Okay, Rebecca, can you take Matthew 9:36? Dorothy, and I won't have you read yet, but I'm just going to have you find it. Matthew 9:36, Rebecca. Dorothy, can you go to Genesis 12, 1-3? Who else wants to read? Okay, right here. Exodus 19, 5 and 6. Exodus 19, 5 and 6. Who else? Okay, Miss Carol. Isaiah 6, verse 8. Isaiah 6, verse 8. Who else? All right, back here, Matthew chapter 24:14. 24:14 of book of Matthew. Somebody else? Oh, Andy's got Matthew 28:18-20. Couple more. I've got at least 4 more scriptures. Going to max out all our volunteers this morning. Our comfortable readers will be exhausted.
I'll take one.
All right. Miss Nancy, you can take Mark 16:15. Cindy, you can take Luke 24:46-48. 46-48. I got 2 more. All right, John. Hey, this is fitting. John, chapter 20, verse 21. 20, verse 21. John 20:21. And then 2 more. I can read one of them if we don't get enough volunteers. Wasn't supposed to tell you that yet. Lonnie, can I have you read one? Oh, man, I insist. Acts 1:8. And I'll call on John in the back. Can I have you read 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10? Yes, I'm not going to have anybody read them yet, but when I tell you, we'll read those. If somebody gets to their verse and they don't remember what it was, then I'll just reassign it on the spot. Matthew 9:36. This is a way that we can test our vision. How is our vision, our Jesus glasses, doing? Rebecca. Okay, so if it's your turn, just remember to speak up. I'm the only one with a mic. I think everybody mostly heard Rebecca. But when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Okay, so what's the test of whether we have Jesus-like vision for the people around us? Compassion is the test. Are you moved to compassion when you see another human being? When you see people that are lost and helpless, do you get agitated because they're lost and helpless? Or do you get moved to compassion because you have a guide to give them to help them find the way? You have the path, the way, the truth, the life. And so where's your heart when you see somebody who's stumbling around in the darkness? That's a good test. And so all of us can probably say, man, I need to clarify my prescription. There's room for all of us to say, I need to at least get out the lens cleaner and ask the Holy Spirit to adjust my vision. And every day, I got words for you. How often, if you have glasses, do you have to clean your glasses?
Many
times throughout the day. And yes, every day. So there's going to be a constant realigning of our prescription with the heart of our Father. Remember, we are not fully like him. And there's constant repenting that has to go on the journey. Lord, I just got short-sighted in my vision again. I saw that person, and I thought way different thoughts about them than you do. I confess that. Help me to see them as you see them. It's going to be continual, and we'll find our prescription changes as we journey with Jesus. And it's actually funny. It's different than our natural vision. When I first started wearing glasses, it was just because the blackboard was a little bit fuzzy in class. I was in seminary, and I'd always had better than 20/20 vision because I was going to be a pilot. And yet I found I'm just having a hard time to read that chalkboard when the teacher's writing on it. What's up with that? And then finally I got enough time, you know, to go get my prescription in line, and I was like, wow, it's amazing. Why didn't I have time to see good before? This is awesome. But in natural ways, most of our prescriptions keep changing, and it's not the better kind of changing as we journey. But when we're walking with Jesus, it's the reverse. We are becoming outwardly, Paul says, what? We're wasting away. But inwardly, he says, we are what? Being renewed when? Day by day after the image of Jesus. So there's a bettering of our vision as we journey. And that's encouraging because who we were yesterday is not who we will be next day and the day after that. We are growing. And so if you're finding that your vision needs some clarifying, take heart. All of our vision needs clarifying. And Jesus isn't done with any of us yet. Humility. Sometimes I've heard it called thinking less of yourself. I'm going to just think less of myself and then I'll be humble and I'll think about other people. But it's actually thinking of yourself less. It's not cutting yourself down to think of yourself in a less than the way you're overinflating your view of yourself now, and you just need to think in a less elated version of yourself. No, it's actually just not thinking of yourself as often. That's what Jesus classes look like. It's becoming so much more concerned about others. Not that we're neglecting self-care. That's not what I'm talking about. Some of you know what I mean when I say that. But it's just growing in God vision where we're not as concerned with our natural self-centered state and we start caring about others. So here's the antidote to pride and selfishness in the scriptures. We're going to go through these passages and I'm going to ask one single question as we read it. Who is being sent on God's mission in these passages? Okay? It's the who we're looking at. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. Who's got that one? Go ahead, Dorothy. Read it loud.
Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you.
Okay, stop. I had an extra inflated couple verses after. I only wanted the verse one. Sorry, you did perfectly well. Who is being sent?
Abram.
He will later become Abraham as he goes, but he starts out as Abram. So the Lord sends first on mission to another place that he doesn't even know where yet. Sometimes it's going to be, I am stirred as I'm journeying to not yet know where, but my heart is telling me by the conviction of the Spirit that it needs to be somewhere where it's not yet. Okay, you won't know necessarily always the where, but the heart is what changes first. So that's the first one. Exodus 19, 5 and 6. Who's got that one? Go ahead.
Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation.
Okay, perfect. Sorry to cut you off. Who is being called to be God's children? The Jews. Were they formerly God's children? No. God is putting a special name on them to represent his love for them. And if we were to continue reading, a part of them being a kingdom of priests and a holy nation means they are exposing constantly the unholiness of the nations around them. And God's also going to remind them, you're not even fully living up to what I've made you as a holy nation. You're quite unholy, Israel. So they are being sent into the nations around them eventually to be holy. Who's being sent eventually? I didn't give you the whole passage, but that's the beginning of the people of Israel being sent. Israel, I gave you the answer on that one. Some of you are saying, that was a little, I was trying to take compassion on you because I saw some worried faces. He didn't give us the whole passage, and I'm confused. So Isaiah 6:8. Who's got that one? Okay, go ahead, Miss Carol.
I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me.
Okay, who's speaking?
Isaiah.
Isaiah the prophet. All right, so he's going. God is saying, who shall we send? Did you see it? God's in the plural? Who will go for us? If there's ever a little clue to the Trinity built in, right there is the reminder. Just as in Genesis, the Father was there, but Jesus is the means by which, Colossians says, Jesus is the means by which Jesus created all things. He's the power. So God's Spirit is there hovering. Jesus is the one forming by his power what takes place, and God is at work. And it's all through the rest of the creation that that Trinity is present, shaping and tending his creation. So God is sending out who? Isaiah. All right, Matthew 24, 14.
And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the world, the whole world, as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come.
All right, so who's doing the proclaiming? He's just saying it will be done here, but who do we know from the rest of Scripture is doing the proclaiming? God's people are. Here, it's the Jewish people, but we're going to find out when we get to Acts, it expands, and the Gentiles are being grafted in. So God's people, that is, the Spirit of God is working through all believers. Rebecca's getting uncomfortable with my exegesis, I can tell. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Who's got Matthew 28? Andy, I think you had that one. I'll come back to you if we have time, Rebecca.
And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
Okay, who is being sent? He says Jesus came near and said to the disciples. Now, who are the disciples being spoken of here? Is Judas still present with them? No. So, how many disciples are being present in this conversation? 11 disciples. So the disciples already got qualified, even though he said to the disciples, there's one less than there had been. Now, has the replacement for Judas came yet? Acts will tell us it happens later in the churches as they're being sent out, then he's replaced. So there's 11 right now. But is he just speaking of the 11 here that are supposed to go to all the nations? Will the 11 alone be able to get to all nations? Negative. So who is by extension also being included as a disciple here? All the church through the ages. Yes. If you've never read that passage through that lens, it's at first, we say, here's the one layer of interpretive grid. It's the immediate context says the 11 are there. Oh, I thought 12, and then I was like, oh, wait a minute. No, it's actually 11. And then you think again, and you say, well, what is the ultimate fulfillment? Will the job get done with just 11? No, we're all included as disciples. Who's got Mark 16, 15?
I do.
Okay, go ahead. Who is the them? Mark 16, the end of the book of Mark. It's so Jesus and the disciples, it's the disciples, right? He's speaking to his immediate disciples. Is it limited to, will they ever get to the whole creation? No, it can't be just them. It's all disciples that by extension get this same message taken to them. What about Luke 24, 46 to 48 in the front here? 46 to 48.
Written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must Then he opened their minds to understand the scripture. Keep going.
Yes.
47, did you say?
48.
Okay. And said to them, this it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But say to the city, until you are clothed with power from on high.
Okay, so who's he speaking to? This is Jesus. Who's he talking to?
The disciples and the believers that were with him.
Correct. In verse 33, can you read us 33, Cindy? That's how we know. Andy gave us the shorthand version, but give us verse 33.
Okay. I don't have my glasses, so I
know. You're doing great, Cindy.
Just got my contacts over. Okay, we're on 33.
Got to get your Jesus glasses.
Going to 33, yeah, okay, here we go. And they rose, the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord.
Okay, that's all, stop. So it's the 11 and those who were with them. The extension of the 11, other disciples as well were present. So he's sending them out as well to all the nations. John has John 20, 21.
When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you.
Okay. Original disciples or all disciples? All disciples. Immediately, in that moment in history, it was just the original disciples. But were they ever called to go and make disciples of just their immediate extended circles of influence? No, they were called always beyond something they could possibly accomplish on their own. Go and make disciples of all nations. They did not set foot in every nation themselves. And to get that done, it's got to be all believers. And so we continue being sent as they were. Acts 1:8. Perfect. Who's being sent? The original disciples and all believers. And so, if you see a pattern, I hope you are taking note of that pattern. We'll get to the summary statement in a minute. Go ahead, 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 and 10. John. Yes, amen. So there is always, if you're noticing a pattern, here is the pattern. Yes and yes. It's already, the kingdom is immediately being given to the elect exiles in the dispersion here. They're just being sent out from isolated Jewish-only world. They're starting to do Acts 1:8, where they're being sent to their city, Jerusalem, their region, Judea, the next circular sphere of influence in Samaria, the half-Jews, and then you notice them going to the ends of the earth. So the circles are concentric. They are here, and circles are widening in their effect as the gospel spreads out, and you see that here. Every believer, all disciples, is called to proclaim the praises of the one who called them out of darkness and into light. This is all of our job. So Abraham, Israel, Isaiah, God through all believers, and keep going through all disciples. So is God's heart for outreach only for missionaries or those with the gift of evangelism or something all Christians are called to participate? Hopefully you have a resounding answer now. All Christians, even wimpy feeling ones. Okay, are not all God's people sent out as participants in his mission? It's a rhetorical question. They sure are. Okay, so let's take inventory. How is the church in general doing at faithfulness to this and fruitfulness to this task of missional living? Being on mission where they are, all believers constantly. In general, it may be like in churches. There's usually the very active top 10%. They are the ones that are at every function, and they're always signing up for everything. And they're all in. And then there's the kind of like sometimes sort of mostly there, but never participating, just a body that's there. That's the way it kind of tends to be about all people in general doing God's work faithfully. There's the few that are doing it well and over and above, and then there's the rest of them that are just barely there and most of the time not. So what about how is We Are a Church at Grace Lake Susie doing with being faithful? These are my two categories in summary. Faithfulness in mission living and fruitfulness in mission living. So you can't have fruit unless you've done the first of faithfulness, but you are not always guaranteed fruit if you're being faithful, but you're trusting the fruit to come if you're being faithful. So you've got to have the faithfulness before you'll have the fruitfulness, but you anticipate God doing the fruitfulness, but you can't have him do it. He doesn't just do it apart from the church. It's always through people the gospel proclamation goes. If you're waiting for God to just have a voice from heaven and call all the elect to himself, he's not going to do it. He's intentionally chosen to leave you and I to be the witnesses who take that message to the people around us. We are the image bearers and the message carriers. So if you're waiting for somebody else to get it done, that's what's wrong. How are we at Grace doing in faithfulness and fruitfulness with mission living in our community? I won't make you answer it out loud. Are we doing the fullness of what we're called to? Just like the church in general, I think we can all identify we're part of that church in general. No, we need to grow in this. This is a place that the Spirit of God wants to warm us to greater faithfulness. And when we are more greater faithful, it's not because God needs us, but he's chosen to use us. There's a difference. He has promised, actually, to bless those efforts and use us. And so the fruit comes, but we've got to start with the faithfulness. And so there's a warming. How then on the personal level are you and I doing? This is a personal self-reflection question. I am a member of Grace Church. I'm a member of the Universal Church. Even if you're not a member of this specific body, you're a member of the Church Triumphant. Every tribe, tongue, and nation, through all history, you are joined to Jesus. You're joined to that body of believers. And so if you're a member of Jesus, you're a member of that body. And yet, as an individual, or how are you doing with faithfulness to that call? And how are you doing with seeing fruitfulness come? We can all take inventory, right? This is not to beat you up, but I just want to say, okay, God's called all believers to it. Where's the breakdown? All of us have room to look right at ourselves. I can't get on somebody else for not being missional, engaging for Jesus where they are, because my job is to be on me. Now, I happen to be one of the shepherds, so I'm called to proclaim what God has said, but I'm not pointing it out there, look at everybody else that's not got it together. I'm pointing right here, too, because I'm one of us, and I need Jesus' help in this area, too. So then the question becomes, okay, if I'm not where I am called to be, all of us hopefully can say that honestly, I'm not where I want to be either. So where can I grow? How can I grow in daily obedience? That's the faithfulness part to Jesus' call. And then how can I trust God for increased fruitfulness in reaching out? Well, I think I'm going to give it to you through the quick lens of something that happened in my life in 2018. So last year, I saw God use me lead more people to Jesus than I'd ever had in a single year of my life. More than all the years combined of my life. And I've not got a lot of people that I've personally led to Jesus, but I had three people that year come to Christ. And as I look back, I don't say that to say, wow, Chris is a great evangelist. I will say that to say, look what God can do through faithfulness and intentionality, and he brings the fruit. I started finding one thing more than any other year of my life. My heart became moved to compassion through prayer for the people around me. If you and I are not on asking God specifically to make us have Jesus glasses today, guess what will happen? We'll default to our natural prescriptions. And we will see short-sightedness in every interaction with other image bearers. We'll miss the ultimate reason that non-accidental engagement with that person just happened. The Holy Spirit is putting us each in specific God-given places intentionally. Am I getting my Jesus glasses on to notice? Am I aware and using the opportunities? He's already promised to give them. The breakdown is, I miss them. So my vision through prayer became more and more aligned with the Holy Spirit's vision in 2018. And so I think some things prepared me for this. I started realizing 2 Corinthians 5:21 applies to me. God has made us, actually, let me read that to you. Everybody is, at least Cindy up here, I like that enthusiasm. She's starting to, well, what does 2 Corinthians 5:21 say? Let me find out. I'll read it to you. Thank you all, by the way, for great reading. And it was encouraging to hear the scriptures and other people's voice timbre and quality and intonation. It's just so encouraging every time God's word is read. I love hearing it in different voices. He says, 2 Corinthians 5:21, this is where Paul is saying, okay, outwardly, he's just talked about in this body of death being destroyed, but God's doing an inward work, and he's left us to be the reminder of that ministry. And Paul was not the only one with the ministry to reconcile others to Jesus, but he left the example that he's called all of us to. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation, verse 18, so because God's not counting our trespasses, our sins, our infractions against a holy God against us, but he's entrusting to us instead a message of reconciliation. Verse 20, he calls us ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. An ambassador is someone who goes into another country, reach out, outreach, and represents their country in that foreign land on behalf of the homeland. We are sent from the kingdom of heaven into the kingdom of darkness, into this world's streets and workplaces and playgrounds and golf communities and Walmarts and gas stations. Do you get the picture? We are sent representing another kingdom as ambassadors of that kingdom. So that when we go, it's not just Cindy and Carol and Lonnie and all the rest of us, but it's Jesus that we represent. And we don't just represent our individual family. We represent something bigger. And so we are imploring others, Paul continues, verse 20 of 2 Corinthians 5, imploring others on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That's why no little interaction with another image bearer or person that you've ever met is just a mere mortal. These people are immortal. They're made eternally alive, and they will either spend eternity with Jesus or apart from Jesus, and you and I are the messengers to be reconciling people to God. The Spirit will work through faithfulness, not through just the most gifted, but through wimpy, really, really stumbly, stuttering, scaredy cats, and feeling constantly insufficient. And I don't quite know what to say, but I'm going to ask the Spirit of God to use me because he's called me and he goes with me. I'm not alone. And so that's how God uses us. And so expect that there's an assurance that it's not just through others that God promises to share his love, but it's through me. And there's a banner of God's smile that I wear as I go. I don't need their approval. I've got the King of Heaven's approval. Let me share with you what my standing has been changed with my King. I am loved more than I ever imagined and more deeply flawed than I ever dreamed possible. How can those things two exist at the same time? Let me tell you about my Savior Jesus. So there's a new assurance I had. There's a new confidence. We're already over time, so I'll rush through. I've got Three other things that were true, I'll tell you real quick. A new confidence I realized, the power of the gospel is what gets the job done, not the eloquence of the messenger. It says in Romans 1:16 that the gospel is so powerful that it does the work. Romans 1:16, you can read that. He sets people free and he does the work. The gospel is what gets it done. So there's a confidence. The message getting proclaimed through your opening your mouth is what it takes, not how well you explained it. There's freedom there. You can blow your presentation of the gospel. You can mess every word up, and the Holy Spirit promises to use it in other people's lives. You're totally set free. You're off the hook. Be as convincing as you know how. Don't go flabbergasting on purpose, but go boldly knowing this is how God's going to get the job done, even through my stumbling words. And then you go prayerfully because he's going to clarify. He's going to give you the instruction you need, the confidence you need that it's God's gospel getting the job done. And then there's a conviction that every place that I work, every place that I live, every place that I play is intentionally to be a mission field for God. There's people I'm going to come into contact with that none of you all will ever come into contact with. The network of relationships that each of us have is unique. None of us know the same people, 100%. All of us are specific, uniquely called messengers from this place sent on mission for Jesus. Don't waste those connections. They're not just about the things we make them for. They're about eternity. And then I started thinking that I've got to do, I'm so desperate, I'm constantly starting to become aware through Jesus' glasses that people around me need him. And I just am realizing how weak and frail I am. And so I just started praying constantly. Lord, show me the person today that I'll bump into that wasn't an accident. Show me the person at this next store. So all of your en route moments become preparation zones through prayer for your heart to be ready and their heart to be ready. The people you don't even know you're going to meet maybe. So this is what I find. And then there were some new tools that I learned. And in Lord willing, a future Sunday school class will go over some of those gospel tools that I can help in some of the ways that I've found freedom being set in my heart through just some tools I can pull out of my tool belt, okay? In the right circumstance, sharing my faith in a brief, succinct, 60-second form can give someone a little small taste. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Let me tell you just how God has been good. I used to disobey my parents, and I thought that was the worst thing I ever did wrong. And then I came to realize, man, my authority problem is much bigger than just my parents. I just hate going and being accountable to anyone. And yet Jesus has set my heart free to know that, no, I actually don't have to, because Jesus has already accomplished all the perfect, righteous life of God that I needed to live, but I could never do because of sin. And he did it on my behalf so that I don't have to, but I get to. I get to live as a loved, smiled upon child of the King. And you know, that changes your perspective on authority. It's for my good that he gives me others to be accountable to. And have you ever had an interaction like that with your King? It can take a brief second. If you can tell it that short, and that was not all that short, I could get it shorter if I was more rehearsed. You can always tell it for an hour if you know it in the short form. But getting the hour down to the short form, that's really hard. So how is the unique story God's given you? And then do you know one verse Bible message of the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life? It's as simple as that, Romans 6:23. And we could talk about some other presentations and some diagrams. But when we are faithful, friends, Grace, I say this to myself. I need to remember this day, and I think the Spirit of God wants us each to remember this. When we're faithful, God promises fruitfulness. He is faithful. Even when we're unfaithful, Timothy says, he is faithful because he can't deny himself. He will use us. Be faithful and bold. He's going to do some work, and he's going to do it through the likes of you and I. Let's go to him in prayer. Thank you, Jesus, that you are a kind King, that you are a King who knows our